An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Billy Joel, last hour of the show. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, Kyle Hamilton met with the media yesterday, along with many Ravens players and coaches, and talking about the secondary and the way things have gone so far.
Well, we need to start catching the ball. Yeah, I think it goes back to technique, and we're challenged so much in practice that I feel like in the game it kind of just comes naturally. And me just speaking on BC, just give him his flowers. I think he's one of the most underrated players in this league, not just corners. Does his job week in, week out. We ask him to do a ton, and he does it. And me and Marlon were golfing the other day, and we were just talking about B. Steve and saying, like, he's really, I think if you know football and watch it at a close level, like, you can appreciate what he does, and he's really, like, one of the most technical corners, like, in the NFL that we have in our league, and it's impressive to see how patient and how composed he is just on a play-in, play-out basis.
Talking about B. Steve, Brandon Stevens.
Oh, Brandon Stevens. Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, he just can't play the ball. That's the only negative. He's technique and stuff. Yeah, it's outstanding. But you got to finish. Can't finish.
Talking about catching the ball. How many Manos DiPietros have they had with the
possible interception? Well, Wiggins has dropped a bunch. Washington dropped one. And Baker's going to throw him some. You just got to catch him.
He's a gunslinger type of guy there.
The thing that surprised me a little bit was he didn't talk about the communication, because that was screwed up some too last week.
But here's Kyle Hamilton kind of elaborating a little bit more when we sit here, you know, we're as guilty as any, criticizing the secondary. When the tight window throws, do they take that in account when people judge them?
Yeah, I think yes and no. At the same time, you know, you don't want to give up a touchdown no matter what manner it is. If they get lucky, if you get lucky, whatever. But, I mean, I think a lot of football is, not a lot, but sometimes it just comes down to luck. Sometimes things will go your way. And you know, I feel like last year we had some stuff going our way, which, like, you know, helped us be first in points, sacks, whatever it may be. And, you know, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. And I feel like it's up to us to kind of eliminate the luck factor and just make it us doing our job.
Are they unlucky, I guess?
To me, if you're not in the right spots, that's not really being unlucky. I think the communication, the missed tackles, you know, I mean, 31st in pass defense with the talent that they have? No, that's not being unlucky. That's being bad.
Now you have a big test coming up, Monday night, against Tampa. Here's Kyle Hamilton talking about the receivers led by Mike Evans there.
Yeah, he's been good for ever since I can remember. And, you know, I was young watching him and Johnny Manziel light it up at A&M. And, you know, he's been in the league, I think, 10-plus years now, and 1,000-yard seasons and all that stuff. And definitely one of better wide receivers of my generation just growing up. And, you know, they got Chris Godwin, who's been good there for a while as well, and Sterling Shepard, a bunch of guys, and tight ends playing well. So I think it's good for us to go against the offense that's pretty much hitting on all cylinders right now. It's a good challenge for us.
Yes, it is a real good challenge for them, and they need to start answering some of these challenges. And what happens in the games is they just don't play consistently for four quarters. They may play for three. Like against Oakland, they played for like three. And then, you know, you give up five big plays, a couple hundred yards in the fourth quarter. That's a problem that they've had, is they don't play for four quarters. Now, be careful what you wish for, you know, with the receivers. Evans is probably as good as it gets in the red zone. You know, he's 6'4", he's a big dude, so he's harder to cover in the red zone. And Godwin's been unbelievable as of late, and they like to throw it to him short, and they like to, you know, in zone. They're really smart guys, too, so they're good in man and in zone because they know how to find the holes in the zone, and they both run well after the catch. Godwin, much better than Evans.
And both Evans and Godwin have 5 touchdowns each. Yes. And you mentioned earlier that Godwin's, what, over 300 yards in yak so far this season?
Yeah, 324. And, Bob, Godwin's got 6 catches over 20 yards. Evans has 4 plays over 20.
And Kate Otten. I mean, he might not be Dave Casper or Mark Andrews, but he's someone that you cannot ignore in their pass offense. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It is NFL lunch here on this Featured Artist Friday. Speaking of pass catchers, how about Rashad Bateman in the year that he's having so far? I guess if you want to call it a breakout season, it's as close as we've seen from a guy that's been much maligned. But someone in the media threw this at him, that people believing that he complains too much.
That's the other perspective of what people have on me. I never had that perspective. I'm always open, and I'm going to continue to be so for Lamar. Zay Flowers is always open, and he will continue to do so for Lamar. We know what we're able to do. We know what we're capable of doing. And, you know, hopefully we continue to put that on show.
I think with Bate, I think he's in a much better place. I mean, his body language this year compared to body language last year, night and day. You know, I mean, how many times, like, after Lamar would overthrow him on a deep ball or whatever, I mean, head down, shoulders down.
Yeah, and that was more telling. He wasn't, like, bitching to the media. They don't throw it to me enough. Yeah. It was more of the way he reacted on the field, sort of thing.
No doubt. And now, you know, he's energized, he's excited, he's signaling first downs after the catch. I think he feels like he's really involved in the offense. He's part of it.
He's 17 catches, 271, couple of touchdowns. Makes a play or two every
week.
What's
he averaging per?
He is pretty good, I think. 16.1.
Yeah, which is damn good.
Yep. In the year, what was it, 19 the one year? Then he got hurt a couple seasons ago. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, it's time for picks. Booze is on the line. Beer for me and Nolan, Vino for Vinny. We'll come back. We all had Denver, spoiler alert, but we got college, got NFL. And then Eric Edholm, NFL.com. We'll preview week 7 of the NFL season with him. And injuries have become too much for New Orleans to overcome. But what about Denver down the stretch? Should we keep an eye on them?
You can pick your friends.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
You can pick your nose.
But there was no pig. There was no pig.
But only Vinny and Haney can pick games. Football Pick'em. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Billy Joel just tuning into the show. Anything you want to hear from him, send a request to the Plaza Board text line. A couple more segments to go. We'll rock and roll, man. But let's get to our picks. And before we get to all of the fun, we all had Denver last night over New Orleans. That was a blowout game. Saints are in disarray with injuries and other things. 33 of the 10. So, Nolan, before we get to the college and all the good stuff there, what's the update?
Updated standings. Bob with a two-game lead, 79 and 45. Vinny, 77 and 47. And I'm in last place, 71 and 53.
Well, you're not White Sox last. You're still in striking distance. Plenty to do, like college. Tomorrow, 4 o'clock, College Park homecoming, Maryland hosting USC. Trojans, 7-point favorites against the beleaguered Terps. Who do you got there, Vinny Serrato?
I can't take the Terps, Bob. I got to go SC here.
Yeah, there's nothing. There's nothing about that last performance that makes me eager to pick the Terps anytime soon.
And as Keith Kavanaugh said, outside of that late-game debacle against Minnesota, the Trojans have hung. I'll be wearing my Maryland shirt, but I'm picking USC in this game. Alabama, number 7, at Tennessee, number 11. How about the Crimson Tide, 3-point favorites on the road? By the way, new to the show, we just pick a winner. Spreads are for your entertainment only. Do with them what you want. But Alabama and the Volunteers.
Now, Alabama's played bad the last two games, and they're 1-1. And if they lose, Bob, I don't know if they can make the playoffs. So Alabama's got it all riding on the line. I'm going to take Bama in a tight one.
I'll go with Tennessee at home to pull off the upset here. Like you said, Vinny, just Alabama not playing up to their standard or even close to it at all against much inferior competition. I mean, they could have, you know, been one play away from losing to South Carolina with how close that was. So I'll go with the Volunteers here.
I'm taking Tennessee as well because Alabama's defense stinks. And as Nolan said, South Carolina should have beat them. Vanderbilt moving up and down the field. Georgia was like lambasted them in the second half. I'm going to go with the Vols. Josh Heupel doing some stuff there. Number 24, Michigan. At number 22, Illinois. The Wolverines, 3.5-point favorites.
Now, Illinois gave up 49 points to Purdue last week in an overtime win. And Michigan's got a really, really good Wink Martindale defense. They can run the football. I'm taking Michigan on the road.
Yeah, hard to know exactly what Illinois is or who they are. I mean, they've got wins against ranked Kansas at the time. They were ranked 19th. The win over Nebraska on the road was pretty nice, but I just don't know how I feel about them. I'm going to go with Michigan as well.
I don't know how we feel about each other at this time. I'm going with Michigan. Illinois, as Vinny said, gave up 49 to Purdue, who might not score 49 points the rest of the season. Let's go Wolverines running that football down their throats. Georgia number 5 at number 1. Texas, the Longhorns, 5-point favorites in that.
Yeah, I'm going to take Texas at home. I think Texas is the best team in the country. Ewers got after missing, two or three games, he got his Oklahoma game, so he kind of got back on track a little bit. Wasn't great, but that was his preseason game, to say. So, and Georgia's defense has not been as good. So I'm take Texas.
Yeah, uncharted territory for the Bulldogs, usually not losing at all in recent history. They've already got the one loss on their resume. Significant underdogs here in this one. I'm going to go with the Longhorns.
I'm taking Texas as well. Let's get to the NFL. Another 9:30 London game. New England taking on Jacksonville. Jags are 6-point favorites. And boy, we just saw what happened to them against the Bears last week. Drake May, a second start. What do you got here, Vinny?
I'd love for Drake May to have a big game and New England win, but I don't think Jacksonville's got to win. But otherwise, I think if Jacksonville loses, we could see the next coach go.
Well, that's exactly why I'm going to pick New England. At least they feel a little bit energized by Drake May's presence. That gives them something to play for. Guys want to rally around the new quarterback. Jacksonville, like you said, Vinny, I think they're ready to pack it up. One score early for New England could do it.
Yeah, I've got my pen right there checking that New England box, but I'm going to take Jacksonville if they can't rise to this one. And we'll talk about this with Eric at home in a few minutes. Maybe Doug Peterson's packing a suitcase in another week or so. So I'm taking the Jags. Atlanta hosting Seattle. Seahawks have lost 3 in a row. Falcons minus 3.
Yeah, I think Seattle's going to lose 4 in a row, Bob. I think Atlanta's getting better. Cousins is feeling better. Bijan's more involved. Pitts is more involved. London's having a big year. I'm taking the Falcons at home.
Right, and where's that Mike McDonald defense been at? They were beating up on inferior opponents earlier in the year, and now 3 straight losses. A lot of points given up, too. I'll go Atlanta.
I'm going Atlanta as well. Tennessee at Buffalo. The Bills dropping 9 at home.
Yeah, I just think Buffalo is tough to beat at home, and Tennessee can't score points. Buffalo's defense is not good. Will Levis has got to be like perfect and have his best game ever. And then Tennessee's got a shot, but I'm picking Buffalo.
It's going to be a statement game for the Bills. They're going to blow them out.
I'm going Bills too. Cincinnati at Cleveland. Bengals minus 5.5.
Cleveland stinks. And in that locker room, they got to feel like, hey, we just traded away one of our best players. Management's given up. Although, the only thing that makes you a little nervous is Cleveland always plays the Bengals tough in Cleveland. But I'm still going to take Cincy.
Right, yeah, I'm going to go with the Bengals. They're still alive, technically, and a win here gets you to 3-4. They got a pulse.
I'm going Bengals as well. Houston and Green Bay, one of the games of the day, I should say. Packers minus 2.5.
I think Houston's got to outscore them. They got 4 injured starters out on defense, Houston does. So that is why I'm take Pack.
I'm going to go with the Texans here. I just gut feeling on this one. Green Bay been pretty good. They survived without their quarterback for a while, but I think they get upset here at home.
I'm going to take the Pack to defend at Lambeau Field. Watch out for Dobbs. Did a lot of whining. Got 2 touchdowns last week. Miami's at Indy. Anthony Richardson is going to be the starting quarterback, says Shane Steichen, for the Colts, who are laying 3.
Who's the running back for the Colts?
I don't think it's Jonathan Taylor.
Eesh. This is a tough one. Like, if Flacco was playing, I would say absolutely Indy. I'll take Indy.
Yeah, I'm going with the Colts here. Until Tua's back, probably not picking the Dolphins at all.
Yeah, I'm going to go Indianapolis as well. Another big game, Detroit at Minnesota. Vikings 5-0, laying 1.5 after bye.
Yeah, Detroit's got a hell of an offensive line. You know what? I was going to take Minnesota. Then I was reading some stats about how Jared Goff eats up Flores' defense for the Vikings. So I switched and I took Detroit.
I'm going to go with the Vikings here. This is truly a toss-up pick, but I just feel like the Lions maybe... it's not a typical letdown game. You're playing an undefeated Vikings team, but after the way they decimated the Cowboys and flat-out embarrassed them, I don't think they'll start as fast here.
I'm going Detroit. I think they rally around the loss of Aiden Hutchinson. They're going to try to win that division. This gets them right back on top. And the Vikings, granted, different players, different eras, different coaches. They always get that last time they start 5-6-0. They tend to flatline after that. And Sam Darnold, I mean, when's he turn into the pumpkin again? You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to go with the Lions on the road. How about Philly at the Giants? Saquon Barkley goes home, if you want to call it that. Eagles minus -3.
Eagles cannot lose this game. You know, I mean, Barkley's going back, like you said, Bob. I think feed Barkley. I'm taking Philly.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Eagles here. I think it'll be a pretty convincing win. Get that fan base all riled up again.
Yeah, I'm a Nolan. I think it's going to be puffy pants Philadelphia. They got their receivers back. Giants are, yeah, I'm going to Eagles. Vegas at the Rams. Rams minus -7.
Yeah, the Rams are getting guys back healthier. That's why I am taking the Rams. Vegas, they just traded away their star player, too, and what's that locker room like? I go Rams.
Right. You know, so many changes. The change of quarterback for the Raiders. They're a mess. I'll go with the Rams.
Yeah, stick a fork in the Raiders. L.A. all day. Washington laying 8 against Carolina.
This is a game, if you're Washington, you got to blow them out. You can't have a, you know, one-point win or a tight win or a let that. No. You got to go blow them out to show them that, hey, we are leading the division.
I think they will win. They'll win big, and Jaden Daniels, probably another Rookie of the Week honor coming his way.
Washington here as well. San Francisco hosting Kansas City Super Bowl rematch. 49ers minus -2.
Well, I got in this one, Bob, because of my picks, the 72 Dolphins, they can break open their champagne because both undefeateds will be done. I got the Niners.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs. There's always something there at the end of the game. The Buffalo Wild Wings commercials, there's a fan busted out, blowing a kick fair or foul. Something weird's going to happen. Give me the Chiefs.
Now I'm going San Francisco to defend the home turf there. And then the Jets at Pittsburgh Sunday night, New York minus -2.
Jets have to win. And we'll see. The Jets have a hell of a defense. You know, if Russell Wilson plays, I don't know if Pittsburgh will be able to score enough points. I got Jets.
Yeah, I think the Steelers win this one. Final score could be 10-7 for both of these defenses, but I'll go with Pittsburgh at home.
I'm going Jets, 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 and I think Adams scores a touchdown in his first game in New York.
How many targets, Bob?
Possibly. Yeah. Somebody's going to be on that whambulance, though, whether it's Lazard or Garrett Wilson, because somebody else is going to eat their food, and it's going to be Davante Adams, but take the Jets to beat the Steelers. We'll come back, talk more about Week 7. With Eric Edholm from NFL.com, then a Funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw, then Inside Access takes over at 2. It's Featured Artist Friday. It's Billy Joel. Let's go, man. Heading into the entirety of Week 7 from NFL.com, NFL Network. Let's welcome back to the show, friend of the program, Eric Edholm. Eric, what's up?
Yeah, not much, man. I think Billy Joel is still in the way. I think I saw a headline the other day. He sold his house in Florida for like $40 million. So, you know, like life is still good for him, I think.
Well, sometimes it's hard to make ends meet. You need that extra 40 mil, Eric, to get on with life here.
You think you're going to get 35, you get 40. I mean, hey, you get lucky once in a while, right?
Hey, I'm happy to win 10 bucks when a scratch off. But anyway, you got the Browns and Jacksonville both sitting at 1-5. New England 1-5, got it. Carolina expected. But of those two, the Browns or the Jags at 1-5, which one's the more disappointing to you?
Oh, yeah, good question. I think obviously because of last year, the way the Browns made the playoffs, you know, sort of leaning on their defense, it wasn't, you know, they didn't have great quarterback play. And I guess we didn't expect all the injuries to happen. I know that's can be an excuse for a team that's losing. Winning teams have injuries too, but I would probably go with them. I mean, Stefanski's twice won the Coach of the Year. I know Doug Peterson and Jacksonville's won a Super Bowl, but in his former job, but I had decent hopes for the Jaguars, but I think I had slightly higher hopes for the Browns. I had them kind of just on the edge of the playoffs coming into the season, thinking, all right, we're still talking about a top five defense, and boy, maybe this Watson thing will work eventually, and you know they'll have their linemen and their running backs soon in the early in the season, but hasn't quite worked out that way, and they've kind of lost their identity a little bit. Even that defense isn't, I would say, performing at a top five level by any means. And yeah, you know, already selling off assets now with Cooper gone. And I would say they're slightly bigger upset or, you know, disappointment than Jacksonville, but both pretty tough to watch.
Hey, Eric, I'm saying that the 72 Dolphins, they can pop the champagne on Sunday night. What do you think?
You say undefeated teams are
both going to lose.
I can see it. You know, I picked the Lions to win. I think they're going to have like a, you know, kind of an emotional high after the big win, but also, you know, losing their teammate Aiden Hutchinson. I could see them going in there with kind of the nothing to lose, you know, throw everything on the table. It's a huge, you know, game for both teams, but certainly for them. And yeah, I mean, maybe less so for the Chiefs, but I could see them losing, absolutely. I mean, it's not, you know, by no means have they dominated their competition this season.
Who do you have more faith in battling back, Cincy or the Jets?
Oh, good question. Both kind of the same spot, really, you know, and I'd say the Bengals' defense has played better lately. That's given me a little more hope. You know, now if the Jets' offense can pick it up, and we've seen signs of it. It just hasn't been consistent, right? And same thing with the defense. Good most of the time, couple letdowns, some penalties, some bad tackling, things like that. I mean, there's just been such a mess there. I feel like there's at least a little bit of stability in Cleveland. Same head coach, same quarterback, same star receivers, you know, some of the same defensive leaders, coordinator, et cetera. Whereas New York has sort of been this constant change. Jeff Ulbrich is trying to pick up the pieces of what's left over from Robert Saleh, and, you know, Todd Downing's got to figure out how do I feed all these mouths and keep them happy. I mean, probably the tougher division is the North, but I would probably give the slightest edge to the Bengals here, even though they're currently lower on my power rankings.
Eric, you know what's kind of crazy is like we pick games and stuff, and Miami at Indy, you know, when I found out Richardson's a quarterback, I said, damn, I said if Flacco was quarterback, I'd definitely pick Indy. I mean, is that sad?
So every week, you know, we do the what we learn. So we watch the games, and, you know, I seem to get the Colts every week. I don't know how, but it just sort of works out that way, or I've gotten them more often than not, I would say. And I feel the same way. The offense just seems to work and flow better with Flacco under center. Now, he hasn't been perfect, but he's been darn solid, you know, the same way he was for Cleveland last year. And, you know, maybe there were a few more big plays last season, but he's kept the trains running on time. You know, you feel like there's just a higher baseline for what you expect. As with Richardson, can he rip off a 60-yard dime down the field? Yes, and he has, for sure. Can he run with the ball effectively and be a tough guy to deal with? Sure. But when he's been in there, you know, and even counting last year's small sample too, it's been some highs and some lows and not a lot in between. I mean, so it's a fascinating situation, isn't it? I think one of the reasons why the Browns didn't want to bring Flacco back was the fear that he is better than Deshaun Watson.
Right.
And so now you're almost in the same situation in Indy. And yeah, it's crazy to think that you can be too good at your job to where people don't want you to come back. But that may have been a factor in his decision to leave and go to Indy.
All right, Eric, what are you thinking about Monday night with the Ravens and Tampa?
Fun game. I mean, look how the Bucs have started to get healthy a little bit. You know, they had the tough game at home against Denver, so they are capable of, you know, sort of, I don't know if they play down to their competition. Obviously, you saw Denver last night. They're playing pretty well. Let's not say they're a bad team, but that was certainly an egg of a game that they laid. And, you know, pretty much controlled the game in Atlanta, let that one slip away. We know the Ravens did that early in the season, but recently it's looked so good. I think the Ravens right now have the toughest offense in the NFL to deal with. And there have been enough strides defensively for me to feel better and fewer of those sort of head-scratching plays late in the game that you know, start the avalanche going the other way. So I feel better about them, their ability to close out games, and just really stress teams. And you talk about NFC opponents, Like, Lamar has just been the absolute kryptonite. I mean, you can't – they just don't know what to deal with him because they don't see players like him every 4 years, right? So I give the edge to Baltimore, but this is a plucky Bucs team that I think has played better defense than maybe some of the numbers suggest.
Yeah, with their defense, Eric, the thing about it is their secondary – you know, I mean, they got, an undrafted free agent at one corner. You know, the corners don't hold up very well. I love Winfield, safety. And you know what? Like, playing against the Ravens, I love their two linebackers, but they're both, like, 230 pounds.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing is that, you know, and for as good as Levante David is, teams have picked on him in coverage, or at least where, you know, his part of the field when they're in zone and things like that. And you know, there's still some holes in what they do defensively. The secondary has been kind of rotating because of injuries, different bodies in and out. You know, up front, I don't know that they have a ferocious rush, but it's a pretty good one. You know, it's Todd Bowles is smart. I mean, he's always been a kind of a zone principle guy, but, you know, he'll mix it up a little bit. And they've kind of made it work, even as there are some potential cracks in the system there.
Eric at home, NFL.com, Vinny at Haney, 105.7, the Fan Featured Artist Friday. It's Billy Joel selling $40 million houses. Eric, last thing for you, the NFC North, and you mentioned the Vikings earlier taking on Detroit. Hey, the Bears are 4-2. Packers were a playoff team last year. They're 4-2. Everybody has four wins. There are teams that might not reach four wins this season. Yeah. Where is Chicago going to – they have a bye this week, obviously. Where are the Bears going to fit in as we start progressing into November?
Yeah, I mean, technically the Packers are the last place team, and that's by virtue of their loss to the Vikings. It's the only NFC North game that's been played head-to-head this year. So that record will come down a little bit, you know, as the attrition from within happens. So you beat up on each other in the division. But, you know, the Bears won't play their first division game until week 11. The election will already be over. I mean, they're really kind of racking up this record against non-conference, non-division teams. They've gotten better. Caleb Williams has kind of changed the narrative of what we saw the first 2-3 weeks of the season a little bit. So they're coming around offensively, and their defense, I mean, they haven't allowed more than 21 points in like a dozen games going back to last year. So, I mean, they're playing pretty well on that side of the ball and got them two of those early wins were really the defense making it happen. So in any other division, I'd say they're a playoff contender. I do worry, though, that Packers look a little better. Vikings, Lions, right now I put ahead of them. So that's the reality they're facing.
Eric at home, NFL.com, NFL Network. Eric, appreciate the time as always. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Eric.
All right, enjoy the weekend. See ya.
There's Eric at home, everybody. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw. Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. Because unfortunately, the Orioles aren't part of the fun. We've got a whole off season to watch Mike Elias work his magic and see how much money old David Rubenstein's willing to spend giving out hats and being the super splash guy. That's great. You ready to open that checkbook?
All right. Now it's time to do your job.
Yeah, let's see how much you're willing to spend over here. Get this team back into the playoffs and, most importantly, out of the first round, whatever it is for them. Ravens and Bucks on Monday. So that means Monday throughout the course of the show. We're going to have you covered with that preparation, so stay tuned for that. And then we'll have the scores from this weekend to get into and all of the other sports news that is fit to talk about. Tony Bennett quit at Virginia, basically citing the landscape of college athletics nowadays. Didn't want to deal with it no more.
Yeah, and I guess can't blame him. I can't. You know, being in that world, I think that would be a totally different world to be in right now from what you're used to being in.
It's pro sports, basically. I mean, the TV networks have kind of turned it into what it is. And, yep. You know, conference realignment has ruined basketball conferences. And if UConn leaves the Big East is maybe doomed. So it's all about the dough. And Roger Goodell, not college related, but talking about money, saying that it's probably a foregone conclusion the Super Bowl is going to be played outside of the United States.
Yeah.
And I got a problem with that.
It's going to be a pay-per-view as well.
You said that?
No. But it's coming. We know that's coming.
That's definitely happened.
I think there's a better shot of that than the having it overseas.
Cosell called that years and years and years ago. It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. No, let's go to the fun house so we can get out of here.
Quick draws, fun house.
Galloping all the way. Here comes
The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Well, we'll start with this texter who agrees with your Orioles sentiments there, Bob. Says the O's need to keep one, at least one of their big-name free agents. The new owner is making it known that money will be spent. What a great opportunity to go out and do it. Two players worthy of the big bucks.
Biggest need would be the starting pitcher, because this glut of outfielders that you have, and Anthony Santander, switch hitter who hits 44 home runs, can't sneeze at that. But if they had arms coming up through the ranks, or just say you could count on Bradish and Wells being healthy for spring training, maybe it would lessen the blow, and then there's a plan to bring in another arm. But they're not going to be ready. And there isn't anybody coming up through the ranks. And with all due respect to Kate, hey, McDermott had a shoulder problem this year. So, and I love Tony Taters. I said, what, February 3 for $60, and you all said that was too much. He'd laugh at that right now.
Well, plus their philosophy. Isn't their philosophy? I mean, they're going to, I mean, the way they've drafted, they don't draft pitchers, so you got to get them from somewhere.
Right, and the free agency options, was talking to Bob off-air about it. I mean, besides Corbin Burns, it's a pretty steep drop-off.
Max Fried.
After him. You got intriguing names, but they come with some injury baggage, or maybe they're over the hill, like Charlie Morton. He'll be available, but he's got to be
40.
Yeah, he's got to be past 40.
Mm-hmm. Is there any trade dudes?
Yeah. There might be a couple out there to
Crochet.
Be had. What's Blake Snell going to do in San Diego? Yeah.
He probably elect
to go.
Or
San Francisco, right?
Yeah, free agency again, probably.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
All right, Bill in Bayview checking in says, should be an exciting game on Monday night. His score prediction, Ravens 37-34.
Ooh.
Thinking maybe a little overtime action.
Whoa.
Here. I don't know about that. That'd be a late night.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of people be watching that. The ratings would be extremely high. I mean, I can see it being somewhat high scoring. Both teams can score a lot. Both defenses aren't that great. So, would that shock me? No. Would it shock me if the Ravens won by like 10 or 12 points? No, not at all.
Reminiscent of the Bengals game a couple of weeks ago,
yeah.
Which was fun but nerve-wracking to watch.
Howard in Baltimore says the Ravens definitely need to trade for another quality safety. When you constantly give up chunk plays and you're at the bottom in defensive pass rankings, but at the top versus the run, it's usually the safeties, according to Howard here. Goes on to say, when your safeties are sound, your defense usually sound as a whole. Williams not performing at all.
That's a fact. You know, and he's making $12 million a year. So, I mean, they're kind of in a tough spot there. But they've got to get there. Because he's got talent, he's got ability, he's healthy. But he doesn't play. I mean, he doesn't hit anybody. He doesn't make any plays. That's the problem. You're making that kind of money to be a playmaker. Like when the Ravens got him and he got four interceptions in his first three or four games, he was leading the league in interceptions. That's what we went and bought. But the guy that's playing out there, no. They didn't buy that. They'd rather have Geno Stone.
That's very Earl Thomas-like what we're seeing right now.
Thank you.
Right. We were so excited about Marcus Williams that when the Ravens drafted Kyle Hamilton,
we cried about it.
The next day, everyone's saying, you don't need that. That's a luxury pick. We don't need a safety. Here we are. Now they're both here. We still need a safety. And we'll close with this. Jay in Baltimore says, if Lamar and Henry are both at the top of that MVP conversation at the end of the year, who would have the edge? Kind of hard to say. You're comparing hypothetical resumes, though.
I think the only chance that Derek could have if he had over 2,000 yards rushing, then it would be a tough decision. And then may go back to what you always say, Norm, is Lamar just got it, and he's had it twice.
Right. I mean, well, voter fatigue being a thing, you know, them being on the same team. Sometimes you have the stealing votes argument.
Yeah.
There was somebody recent. Oh, just last year. Tua had big monster video game numbers, but they said, well, you know, where does Tyreek Hill fit in the MVP conversation, even though we know it's a quarterback award?
Well, at the end of the day, neither one of them fit in at all. Lamar Jackson won it. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7. The Fan will be back on Monday preparing you for that Baltimore-Tampa game. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Inside Access coming up next. Stay safe, stay healthy. Have a great weekend, everyone. For now, class dismissed.